Hey, welcome to the Sparkling Client Podcast. I'm Eric Mork, I'm the host, and what we do is we give you short, informative shows all about Silverlight. Welcome to another edition of This Week in Silverlight. I'm joined by Kelly White and Brian Henderson. Gentlemen, hello.
Hi, Eric. Hi, Brian.
Hi, guys.
So, in case you guys were wondering, this is the podcast where we talk all about Silverlight.
And maybe the phone.
And the phone. The Windows Phone 7.
The so, magic phone.
Yeah.
iPhone, not the iPhone?
Microsoft. Well, yeah, not the iPhone. So this is like the iPhone from Microsoft, and it's going to be coming out this year, and the development environment is Silverlight. And XNA for games, but Silverlight, I think, is going to be the primary development tool. So that's where we're at. We talk about news and events that have happened this past week. So we've got some new announcements, late-breaking today, about Windows Phone 7. Hey, Brian, what's been said?
Basically, great news for developers, because basically they committed, the timeline is, the roadmap's out there, saying that September 16th, the tools will be RTM Gold Edition for developers, and a bunch of news around the marketplace and store.
So that's good. So this software stuff is on track, which is great. The hardware stuff is a little bit of a bigger question mark for me, though. Like, where are the developer phones? Where are the actual phones? You know, those kind of questions.
There's two developer phones. Vertigo has one. And the other one is what the developer evangelists share around the PacWest region.
Have you guys seen Kirk Lockett's blog with the Windows Phone hardware? He has, like, about 16 devices now listed on there. So, and it's growing every day. There's a couple more new ones today.
So that's who has the device? Like, where they are being tracked in the world, or...?
No, it's this OEM manufacturers of, you know, public, you know, releases or sneak peeks at devices of that. So there's, you know, here's different models available.
Hey, Brian, I have not seen that. If you can get us the link, we'll make sure to put it in the show notes, because, yeah, that's pretty critical. I don't know if people realize this, but it's not like one phone. There are lots of phones that are going to come out that are going to be running Windows Phone 7.
Exactly. And just to be clear, they're not confirmed phones. They're just, you know, prototypes and stuff like that. But they're good hints of the kinds of models we'll see.
Yeah, exactly.
And some are models, but not sure exactly which is which.
But probably the thing we can say is there's not going to be one phone. There's going to be several, even though we don't know the complete set.
Exactly.
All right. So now, one thing that's always sort of plagued the iPhone App Store has been the submissions process. You submit an app, and then it gets, you know, for whatever reason, denied. The Microsoft Marketplace is supposed to work in a different sort of way, and it looks like you have a link relating to that, Bren.
Well, as part of the announcements this morning, basically they're saying if you build with RTM tools of September 16th, they're going to open the marketplace for developers to submit apps beginning October, you know, first, second week of October. And so that's just getting lined up for all that.
That is exciting stuff. I feel the hair on the back of my neck standing up a little bit.
No, to be fair, apps can still be denied, though, in the Windows Phone 7 marketplace, right? I mean...
Right. So, but my understanding is it's, and correct me, Kelly's sort of the expert on this, but it's supposed to be a much more linear process, something you can peek into. I mean, they have docs and what'll get you denied, right? Like, as opposed to Apple, where you can get denied and they may tell you why, or you may have to guess a little bit.
Yeah, so they're definitely more transparent, right? And because of their transparency, at least, you know, their claim that they're going to be transparent, and you see the rules for getting an app submitted and why it may not be approved, Apple is starting to now relinquish their reins a little bit, loosen their grip, and trying to open their process and make it a little bit more transparent. I don't know if you saw that, Eric, but as you step into the Apple marketplace and you look there on the iTunes agreements for, I mean, they're really pushing to make it simple and not scary for walking people through and getting an app submitted, like what Windows Mobile is doing.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think they're coming together a little bit, and you know, I think Apple's probably moving in the Microsoft direction, which, oddly enough, is the more open direction, but it's all good.
Well, I think you make a good point, Kelly. If you're concerned as a developer, as long as you meet sort of Apple's sort of policy or just general sort of guidelines in that area, I think you have no problem with the Windows, you know, Phone 7 marketplace at all.
Right, yeah. So for the Windows Phone 7 marketplace, our expectation, this has not been verified by, you know, empirical evidence because the phones aren't out yet, but it should be a linear process. And if you get denied, you know why, you know how to resubmit, those sorts of things.
Yeah.
All right. We've also got some other news here about the timing stuff. So we know DevTools coming mid-September. And then does this link have any other information in it, Brian?
First link we have is the developer roadmap for Windows 7 launch and timing. So it goes into pretty good detail. Some interesting news as far as number of downloads for tools. Over 30,000 downloads of the beta tools already. And that's been the last month and a half here. So that's pretty
amazing. You said 300,000, right?
300,000 of the beta tools. So very cool.
That's huge.
Yeah, that is huge. Now, if every single person writes an app... Hey, did you guys hear that the... there's some like director of the iPhone App Store or something, but apparently he had under another name submitted some fart apps and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
True story.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Here's the math that goes into that. Like, he knows what apps make money. Like, everything is transparent to him, and he decides. And these were still available up until this was published in Wired. He decided, look, here's how you can make a quick buck is doing these fart apps.
Well, the other thing you have to remember is, the phone 7 is coming out October, November timeframe. So obviously, it's in time for the Christmas shopping. So, everybody's getting a new device or something like that. It's going to want certain novelty things to show their friends. So, the iFart or the iWiz app, is probably a good candidate there for a quick buck.
So Elf Bowling would be like the premier game.
Exactly.
Nice. All right, so let's move on. People who listen to this podcast a lot, they know about Jesse Liberty. He is a Silverlight whiz working at Microsoft, and he has this great series coming out. So let's talk a little more about this.
He has a couple of things going on in his blog. One is, this started with the first post today, is the iPhone to Windows 7 tutorial series, which is kind of cool. So some help for people who want to port applications over.
Yeah, fantastic. Although I took a look at the first post and there wasn't a lot about iPhone there, but yeah, I like the idea and the direction.
He also started another series over the weekend too. It's like Silverlight Competency, which is kind of neat as well. So where Silverlight developers is trying to a challenge to improve your skills and just learn more.
All right, so for discussion, Brian, you posted this, and I think it's really interesting. So one of the big things that happened this past year has been the release of the iPad, and it's just really changing about how people think about computers, how people think about notebooks, netbooks, slates, those types of things. And, once again, Microsoft was sort of early to the party with all these, you could get touchscreen slate sort of devices years and years ago running Windows. But now the question is, where's the sort of iPad analog, the one that has a, really well-integrated touchscreen and those sorts of things? And Mary J. Foley has some information and speculation on that?
Well, you make a very good point. Like, tablets have been up for a number of years using resistive or different technologies. But with, the iPhones and other capacitive touchscreens, capacitive touch is for the first time overtaking, resistive touch in terms of technology. And Apple's built on top of that with the iPad and the iPhone.
So you make a really good point, and I don't think I realize this. So the earlier touchscreens, I never really liked them. And are you saying that part of that is they're resistive? That is, it was actually sensing the pressure from my finger on the screen rather than the capacitive, the newer displays where it does the, electrical sensitivity, electrical detection of where my finger is? Is that part of why I hated them, do you think?
A big part just in the tactile touch and the feedback of that. Resistive displays are normally have like one, possibly two touch points, where capacitive you have like four or five or more touch points. And it's just response time in a capacitive device is very fast. So you get that instant feedback. So you move something on the display, it follows, tracks your finger very closely. Where resistive, there's a kind of long pause where the hardware is just trying to calculate where the touch occurred.
That long pause, man, whatever you're talking about, if you make people wait for milliseconds, even just milliseconds, they hate those devices.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we see that everywhere. Kelly's shaking his head. We had this disagreement writing an iPhone app just the other day.
And when we say long, we're talking like, 1 to 5 milliseconds in terms of touch. It's not like a browser refresh, which could be a couple hundred milliseconds as being long.
Right. So fair enough. So she has some theories on the slate device and where that's at. What's she saying?
This is a podcast article on, I guess, The Register with Mary Jo Foley and Gavin Clark. They kind of go into depth on talking about Windows slates. You know, they're probably going to miss this year. If they are, there could probably be Windows embedded type devices and not what we think of, you know, an iPad competing device and more geared toward business versus consumer focused.
Hasn't Microsoft committed that the actual slate devices that are shipping, going to ship in the future, are going to be some desktop variant of Windows 7 versus like Windows Phone 7, the completely rewritten operating system for phones?
Well, they say Windows 7, so they're not very specific on that. But also, Ballmer, when he talked at, I guess it was the Partner Developer Conference last month, he kind of mentioned that, or I get correction on that, I think it was an analyst discussion, where he mentioned that they're waiting for the next series of Intel chips, which are rumored to be coming out, you know, first quarter of 2011. And this is supposed to give, you know, better battery performance for Windows and just performance of the device itself.
Hmm. Ah, that's marketing speak. I mean, you know, they don't have it ready, right? And it's very frustrating. You know, they could make do with existing processors that are out there. They don't need to wait for, you know, the latest and greatest from Intel. I mean, you know, the iPad isn't waiting for the latest and greatest from Intel.
So you make a good point, and I have that frustration with them all the time, Kelly. But you know what? Microsoft never leads. Flat out.
They haven't in a long time.
They haven't in a long time, right. Well, name where they've led. You know, we could talk about Xbox. We could talk about Zune. We could talk about Windows 3.1 following the Macintosh, right? Like, they'll come along after, and they'll do a good job oftentimes, and they'll oftentimes take over the market. But they almost never innovate.
Oh, DOS was innovation. Anyways.
DOS was before we were born.
I think part of the reason we've seen the delay is they realize they have to get it right coming out of the gate, too. And you saw this with Apple because, you know, the Newton came out a number of years, and there was six, seven years in between before the iPad came out where people are, you know, saying, why doesn't Apple bring out a tablet device? And obviously they're holding back, realizing they have to have the level of performance there, the level of battery, you know, it has to last 10 hours. So those are very critical.
That was a good point that Mary Jo made, right? I mean, people want devices that are going to last 10, 12 hours, and these new slates have to last that long. If they don't, it's a dead deal.
Yeah. So they might be getting hit on some battery power issues. I mean, there could be a lot of things going on. The thing I've said before in the show, and I think the thing that I think is really true, is that so Apple, when they were making the iPad, they had to say, are we going to have a beefed up iPhone OS that we're going to put on it? You know, made for embedded systems, right? Designed from the ground up for mobile devices. Or are we going to go the other direction? Are we going to take our Mac OS and chop off some pieces and put it on the device? They made the decision to go with the iPhone OS. I think we all have some complaints about the iPad not having some certain features that it would be nice if it had. There's also trade-offs. Like, I think it works really well. But if some rumors are to be believed, Microsoft may be doing the opposite thing. They may be taking desktop Windows 7 and moving it down to run on these slate/pad devices. I think it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah. You know, one thing this is a thought that I had as I was listening to that podcast. The way that time frames are lining up here, this really means that Mix 11 next year could be all about writing apps for these new slate devices and trying to help us, you know, do that, whereas last year was all about writing, you know, for the phone. And it's not all about, but that was a big key part and a big part of the story.
So you may be right. I mean, it's interesting, though, if it is desktop Windows 7 that goes on to these slate devices, right? Will it have Silverlight in it? Will it have desktop Silverlight in it? Because it could, right? In fact, by default, it probably would.
I think that's pretty much a given there. And the one thing I like about Silverlight is it's a touch environment in Silverlight, because any tablet device or the phone has to have that very smooth touch environment. And if you've ever seen a Windows Phone demo device, you see they got it right, and it's very responsive. So any tablet device has that very fast response as well.
Yeah, I don't see how they get away from Silverlight there. I mean, it's in the TV chips, right? I mean, that's how we're going to be programming for everywhere.
So I think Silverlight is going to be on any Slate device that Microsoft has a hand in. I think we're all agreed there. I guess my question is more around, does it access the web, right? Because on the phones, you don't have the web version of Silverlight, so you can't walk up to existing sites and render them. What you have instead is the App Store, which I as a developer like because I'm making money from my applications. Whereas on these Slate devices, if you can walk out to the web and render Silverlight applications, there's more of an expectation that your app should be free. And as a developer, that's making me nervous.
Well, I think that's more of a marketing decision than anything else, because if you're deploying apps through a web interface, now you're bypassing the market. So being able to control what's on the device, I think they're trying to direct you through the marketplace as part of it. And then the other thing is kind of technological is, you know, first version of IE on the phone, or at least Windows 7 phone, doesn't have plugin support, but they've promised it's coming in the future. So it'll be interesting to see what level of, you know, integration they allow there with Flash or with Silverlight.
Well, guys, we're out of time, but thanks for meeting with me and having this discussion. By the way, we're going to do an interview soon with Sean Wildermuth.
Thanks, Eric. Kelly, it's been great.
Thanks for listening. If you're interested in Silverlight 3 or Silverlight 4, check out our website, silverbaylabs.org. That's where we have information about Silverlight consulting and development. If you're interested in training, check out the Silverlight Tour, where I'm an instructor.